Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Society in New Haven, which has been a force for liberal religion since 1836 in our area. If you are here for the first time, we encourage you to sign up the list for the mailings, the monthly newsletter, either email or snail mail. So let's join together in reading reading number 591, which let's read it responsibly. This is from James Luther Adams, who I think has himself been a force for liberal religion for many years. I call that church free which enters into covenant with the ultimate source of existence.
That sustaining and transforming power, not made with human hands.
It binds together families and generations, protecting against the idolatry of any human claim to absolute truth or authority.
This covenant is the charter and the responsibility and joy of worship in the face of death as well as life.
I call that church free, which brings individuals into a caring, trusting fellowship.
That protects and nourishes their integrity and spiritual freedom. That yearns to belong to the church universal.
It is open to insight and conscience from every source. It bursts through rigid tradition, giving rise to new and living language, to new and broader fellowship.
It is a pilgrim church. Church, on the adventure of the Spirit.
The goal is the prophethood and priesthood of all believers, the one for the liberty of prophesying, the other for the ministry of healing.
It aims to find unity and diversity under the promptings of the Spirit, that the glory of the Spirit is listed, and making all things new.
I should have lit the chalice first, and the words that go with that are from Constantine Brancusi, who said, "We can never be grateful enough to the earth which has given us everything." Brancusi was a Romanian, grew up in the probably later 19th, early 20th century, and a lot of people in Romania were still in touch with the earth. So now let's share our joys and concerns. The idea of an earth flag based on a picture of the earth as seen from space originated with John McConnell, the same man who came up with the idea of Earth Day. The Apollo space program had given us something we had not had before, a portrait of our home planet. This image became the symbol of a new understanding of our relationship with the Earth. Some of the astronauts were deeply affected by their experience of being the first persons ever to see the face of the whole Earth. Getting way back, outside of the usual cultural envelope, gave them a perspective which changed their identity, and in some cases they felt that it had been like a religious conversion. I'm proposing that we fly the Earth flag outside our society as an expression of our fundamental sense of who we are. And one of my attempts today is to link the Earth flag to several of the concepts or the notions that are found in the Statement of Principles, so that we can see it goes beyond just being kind of a green environmental thing. In an address to the New York Society for Ethical Culture entitled Common Ground, the Earth as Humanist Icon, Hugh Taft Morales had this to say. Back in 1968, the poet Archibald MacLeish predicted that this image would revolutionize the way we understand ourselves and our planet. This image and the reality it represents can connect us to, quote, something greater and generate feelings of awe, interconnectedness, and humility. These elements at the core of many religions can fuel a transformative and natural spirituality. The image of the earth is a powerful humanist icon, an enduring and sacred symbol. The something greater of which he speaks is identical to what our UU Principles miniature tract calls that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Gaia, mother of all, is another name for this mystery as it appears to us on this earth flag. The earth flag from early on also represented for many people the hope for world peace. Margaret Mead called it the flag for all people. She used to carry it around with her everywhere she went during the last 7 years of her life, apparently. So it was like a huge discovery of this symbol, you know. The image of the whole earth shining in space humbles the pride of nations. All people depend on the earth and are the earth's offspring. This is a rational truth which inspires feelings of love and awe. This is one of the ideas that Hugh Hath Morales expresses, that the rational truths can lead to feelings, can lead to deep, heartfelt experience. So there's not a contradiction between being rational and having a response of that nature. The idea of continental drift was first put forth in the 1920s. While it had a certain appeal, does everybody know that? That means that the planets were together at one time and then they drifted apart. Or I mean the continents. The continents, too. Did we ever talk about this? Or somebody talked about being in a class back in the 50s or something, and one student was looking at it and saying, did Africa and Europe ever fit together? And the teacher said, what, are you crazy? That was completely nuts, you know, totally stupid idea. It turned out that's what happened. Anyway, the idea of continental drift was first put forth in the 20s, and while it had a certain appeal, there was at that time no real evidence to support it and no understanding of what force could cause the continents to move. In the 1960s, the notion was restated in the theory of plate tectonics. New evidence showed that tremendous forces from inside the planet were pushing the continents to move constantly. So today we know that the Earth, even in its most fundamental physical makeup, is not static. Eternal as the hills is no longer a good metaphor. Mountains rise and fall. Oceans come into being and pass away. Gaia is a collagist. And Earth loyalty means loyalty to an ongoing creative process. The creation and destruction of species, life forms, also tells us that the Earth flag stands for the primal creativity of the universe. Our spirituality, as you use, is in accord with this. Have you ever visited the Unitarian Society in Westport?
Yes.
It's been quite a few years since I've been there, but they have a large A-frame type building, or more or less A-frame. It may kind of sweep up at a curve, I can't remember. However, and this is similar to many churches, of course, that have this, you know, these big space inside, lofty. But it differs in the fact that the two sides of the roof don't meet. They come up and they're like this. There's a space. So, and there is a skylight running the length, the whole length of the, you know, where the roof line should be. The sanctuary is open to the sky, open to the cosmos. Leonard Cohen sings, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light sits in. So the building is an image of incompleteness and process and an openness to the outside. This incompleteness seems to be of the essence of UUism. Each individual is on a journey toward truth, which remains forever incomplete. Revelation is not sealed. Creation continues. I am proposing that we fly the Earth flag out in front of our building in order to express our love and loyalty to this Earth, which is alive and which is always changing, never finished or closed. Our minds must not be closed because we are on Earth and we are of the Earth. We are human. We come from humans, and to humans we shall return. Each one of us may have our own vision of life and reality, yet we are one as we all participate in the quest, and we all have our feet on this earth. We know that we are a part of our particular place on earth, and this place is alive. Human life is not separate. It is an integral part of the web. Science teaches us this. It's another point of our principles. You know, we take an interest in science. It tells us about things and a rational knowledge of the world. So science teaches us this, but we also feel it in art and poetry. It's perhaps a special insight of our own time that ultimate meaning can be expressed only in fragments. There can be no final poems, because reality as such is too great for the eye of man. The earth is not a solid, immovable block. She is fluid by nature, always alive, always changing, the imagination incarnate. Thus, the earth flag is a suitable symbol of our own creative activity as we try to put things together in a way that makes sense. We, like the earth, are bricoleurs and collages, seeking to invent and create some semblance of desirable order or unity out of the materials that are at hand. We need not be sterile. Like our mother, we can bring forth new forms of life. We could even lead the way toward a new beginning for humans. Our humanism must be an earthy humanism. We have had more than enough of imperial humanism, man as the master and possessor of nature. This institution, this house, could become a home base for a creative community transitioning toward a new earth-friendly, post-cheap energy world. An earth-based humanism offers hope that there can be a desirable human future on this earth. We together could become the local embodiment of a way of life grounded in a new awareness, a new sense of relatedness to the earth and to the beings of the earth. To embrace earth loyalty means to renounce other competing loyalties, or at least to relativize them. Allegiance to the nation may continue, but only insofar as the nation humbly acknowledges the greater claim of Earth loyalty and loyalty to humanity as an indigenous species of Earth. Corporations may continue to exist, but only as instruments, not as ends. We all grew up corporate, Ralph Nader likes to say. What this means is we tend to find our identity, at least in part, through corporate logos. Chevrolet, L'Oreal, Budweiser. These are our substitutes for tribal identity. Madison Avenue, as we know, actively fosters this sort of commercially driven culture. For those who embrace the earth flag, brand name loyalty and corporate loyalty will be reduced to the limited role they may have within the greater loyalty to the earth community and to the human community as an element within the encompassing community of life. There are many people today who feel despair over the future of the earth. Could often be underground, you know. They see that current actual trends, as opposed to some new thinking that remains almost entirely in the realm of possibility, are not very promising. We are on a runaway train called business as usual. Response even to global financial breakdown, which is actually happening, is to shore up collapsing institutions at all costs, hoping to rev up for another cycle of imperial grandiosity and consumerism run wild. Shifting to a steady state economy is not on the table. Recovering our lost connection to the earth is a nice sentiment, but hardly a premise of survival in the minds of our chief men and women. But I believe there are many who would be ready to roll up their sleeves and get to work if they could just find a place to dig in. We could be such a place if we so desire. There may be many who would say, seeing a fellowship committed to earth loyalty, earth humanism, and earthly love, I knew it had to exist somewhere. How can I get involved? Flying the earth flag could be a sign to flying the earth flag could be a sign to the world around us that we here see a positive future for humans only on the basis of earth loyalty. We are dedicating ourselves to a new blossoming of human community grounded in our place. We are earth humanists, not imperial humanists. We are learning human by learning what our role may be in this particular portion of the living earth. The earth flag signifies our loss of faith in conquest and so-called progress as a way of life. The
of appearing to them.
We see no future for ourselves or for our species in a program of full-spectrum dominance of humans over the Earth. As long as we accept Earth dominance as the guiding principle of society, it is inevitable that some people will continue to believe they have a right to lord it over other people as well, treating them solely as a means to an end. The Earth flag is a peace flag, symbolizing a coming together of all peoples in the unity of the one planet. All nations could cooperate to develop laws, protocols, and understandings for protection of nature and to end war. But how will we achieve world peace if we are at war with nature? The Earth flag is a peace flag because it signifies first and foremost peace with the Earth. This is a sea change in world history. Nations born in war and conquest do not easily accept the idea of peace with the Earth. Those who admire warriors more than farmers also love fast cars, airplanes, sexy weapons, and rockets aimed toward Mars. Our society, born out of ruthless exploitation of the land and peoples of North America, and indeed of the whole Earth, has become a devouring monster, a crazed addict demanding ever stronger hits of energy and resources. This society is not ready to face the fact that supplies of our preferred stimulants are running low on a finite planet. The spiritual community must lead the way toward a fundamental reorientation, which is the only way out of the trap which the world has become. Flying the Earth flag means that we acknowledge that we are here on Earth and our destiny is here. We are not from elsewhere. We aspire to peace with the Earth. We see no future for humans on a burned-out planet. And we believe our longing for world peace has its greatest hope of fulfillment on this basis, peace with the Earth. War on the Earth can never, never lead to peace among nations. Peace on Earth must be based in Earth loyalty. Love the Earth is the twin of love for humankind. We reject imperial humanism and affirm a visceral humanism, a Rabelaisian humanism even, grounded in the Earth as the true basis of our lives. As humanists, we affirm that man is a creature of the Earth. We do not look forward to blasting off to some other place. For those who love the Earth, there can be no better place. I want to read a little nice little poem by Stanley Kunitz, whose whole life production in 98 years is in this book, except for some prose. This is a poem. So he wasn't very prolific, but he was very substantial. The longboat. When his boat snapped loose from its mooring, under the screeching of the gulls, he tried at first to wave to his dear ones on the shore, but in the rolling fog, they had already lost their faces. Too tired even to choose between jumping and calling, somehow he felt absolved and free of his burdens, those mottos stamped on his name tag, conscience, ambition, and all that caring. He was content to lie down with the family ghosts in the slop of his cradle, buffeted by the storm, endlessly drifting. Peace, peace, to be rocked by the infinite, as if it didn't matter which way was home, as if he didn't know. He loved the Earth so much, he wanted to stay forever. We do not love people with a conditional love. That is, as soon as you renounce your animal nature, then we will love you. As soon as you sign on to being a citizen of heaven instead of Earth, as soon as you express sorrow and remorse over your attachment to this Earth and the satisfactions it offers, then we will love. No, earthly love is best. This is our humanism. Earth's the best place for love. I don't know where it's likely to go better. We accept the human animal in all his or her dimensions. We believe that peace may be attained only through such acceptance, not through an attempt to fly high above all this. We have been at war with our own nature as well as with Mother Nature. Conquest and slavery have marked civilization from its beginnings. When we left Earth behind, taking off for higher worlds, we also left ourselves behind. In contrast, Earth loyalty means Earth humanism. To love the Earth and to love people go together. So the Earth flag means respect for the interdependent web of all existence and for Earth-centered traditions. It means humanism, acceptance of humans in their full earthy reality, which in turn implies love of neighbor and liberty of conscience for humans grounded here in this life and in this body. It means world peace through peace with the Earth. It means prophecy based on awe before the tremendously rich reality of Earth and cosmos. It means the disciplined use of reason and science that we may know the Earth and ourselves better and live in accord with the true nature of things rather than high-blown fantasy and delusions of grandeur. It means leading the way in the transition to an Earth-friendly, Earth-related culture. We cannot know and appreciate our own very selves unless we know and appreciate all our relations. The Earth flag is the flag around which we may rally as we grow into that dynamic, living community for which we long. Without such community, we will not survive. If we continue in our unrelated condition, the Earth will leave us behind. Only in community with the Earth in its concrete particulars and with each other in our visceral truth may our species survive. In such community, we will come home to ourselves. Accepting each other with all our foibles, flaws, and desires, we will find that deep self-acceptance which is salvation for earthy humans. Finally, we will find in our bond with the Earth and with each other the spiritual energy to resist the destructive desire to drive right over the cliff, pedal to the metal in a blaze of glory. This longing, which seems so much to possess the hearts of our leading men and women, and perhaps secretly or unconsciously of all too many of us. Now, I had another poem I was going to read, but I think I might have lost it. You heard this one before. For the children, the rising hills, the slopes of statistics lie before us, the steep climb of everything going up, up, as we all go down. In the next century, or the one beyond that, they say, our valleys, pastures, we can meet there in peace, if we make it. To climb these coming crests, one word to you and your children. Stay together, learn the flowers, go light. As we extinguish the chalice, keep in mind the words of Robert Frost, Earth's the best place for love. I don't know where it's likely to go better. And now we are open for announcements.